is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, I can't slow down. It's gonna go. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador.
That boy is good.
Today's episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, February 1st, 2026. That's right. Day one of Black History. I don't know why I said it like that, but except I like attention, all right? Yes, day one of Black History Month. Even though for all of us, for the real ones, Black History is 365 days a year. Even though the white man won't let us. All right, okay. Disclaimer, today's episode is rated R and F. Well, these all my episodes are rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. Maybe I should be specific. I'm saying fuck Whitey's feelings. That's what I mean by that disclaimer. I don't mean, yeah, but yeah. All right, shout out to all you listeners. And before we continue, just a little ritual that I have on this podcast, I'm going to ask you to applaud yourselves. Applaud like you mean it. And I just like to start out with forcing you to applaud yourself, because if you're my target demographic, my target audience, you're likely the kind of person who celebrates everyone except their own self. So break the pattern by applauding yourself. And if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Yeah, welcome. That includes those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Assuming you stick around, I say welcome. Here's hoping I say something on this episode that allows us to make history. I was supposed to say that allows something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. If you didn't know, now you know. If episode 321, in today's episode, I'll be talking about my adventure cat sitting. That's right. That's what I'm going to talk about. And before we do that, we're going to start with some quotables and some randomness.
All right, you all, as requested, I'm back with another set of rules. Here are the rules for surviving Black History Month if you feel a way about it or about us. Rule number one is very simple. Shut up. Shut up. You're absolute. We don't care what is signed into order. We don't give a damn. Okay. We are celebrating Black History Month 365 days a year. So you can shut up. Rule number two, if you see us out enjoying ourselves, being our blackity, black blackest, I need you to shut up. Uh-huh. Mind your business, Kathy. Nobody asked you. We're celebrating what? 365 days a year, sometimes 366. Rule number three should not come as a shock. Penelope, I need you to shut up. We don't care how you feel about them having Black History things still in stores. We don't care about what if we had a White History Month. We don't care about any of that. Okay? Mm-hmm. We want you to shut up. Thanks. Rule number four, Timothy, is easy. You can't say it. We're not going to go back and forth with you on it. You can't. Okay? We don't care how many of us you grew up around. You cannot. I.e., shut up. And rule number five, you're absolutely right. You can shut up. Why? Because Black people are not going anywhere. Okay? We are here. You need to deal with it. Okay.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
That was meant to be a compliment. Compliment to her words. And just to be, before I forget, content creator's name is Rashonda Leah. Lias? Leah. Lias. I'm going to go with Lias. Goddamn English language. All right, yeah. And I felt the need to start off with this clip. I felt it was pertinent because, one, it's February 1st. Two, it's February 1st. Three, four, five, six, and seven, it's February 1st. And but it ties into my message of fuck Whitey. It's we ain't trying to hear it. That's pretty much it. We ain't trying to hear it during this year. White folks always got something to say during Black History Month, but let us be. Let us be.
So you're a philosopher?
New series of stamps is going on sale today, marking the first time Canada Post has paid tribute to hip-hop legends.
This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, I can't slow down. It's gonna go.
First offense.
Toronto's Maestro Fresh West is one of three artists being honored as part of Black History Month.
My father took this picture back in like in 1988-89. So that's the picture right there, man, the stamp. So I feel blessed.
Along with Maestro, Quebec trio Muzian and rapper Michi Me are the other trailblazing performers getting their own stamps and collectibles.
That's a big deal, man. I don't know. I don't think you understand. This is it's a big deal. I'm just trying to say it's a. All right, okay. Hey, you know, okay. When I first heard this story is through this news item is through a post by Chuck D. I think I'm going to, should I use the word irony? Whatever. Mr. Most of my heroes don't appear on no stamps. Now, I live in Canada, guys. It's called the Great White North for a reason. So for a guy like me, grew up in the 80s, well, I mean, born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s, and very familiar with the work of Mozaya, Michi Me, and Maestro Fresh West, to see them on, I'm buying the fucking stamps. No fucking here, no doubt about it, I'm buying the stamps. But it's a great way to start the year, man. I will say that. I'm probably going to save this for this next episode and talk about my complex relationship with this country, Canada. And, sorry, first thought is, I've done this already, but I feel the need to talk. I guess what it is I'm proud of the speech that Carney gave at that Davos conference or whatever you want to call it. I'm happy of what this country is doing with these stamps. It's a big deal, but a part of me feels feels wrong to feel that pride. It's kind of like I had committed myself to resent this country. And then it does, and every once in a while it does something that I'm happy. Well, it looks like I'm making the point right now. I'm flushing it, right? Okay, the thing is, I was born in this country to parents who immigrated here. So it's hard to feel like, it's like I've always grown up like a man with no country. Sure, on paper, I have the Canadian citizenship and all that. But I don't feel like the people who've been here generations. And then also you add the fact that as being a black man in Canada, there's been time where I had to pick between one day I'm Canadian, one day I'm a black guy. So there's that also, like that, all that, that's been in like during my formative year. So now I'm an adult going, and let's just say it's, I can say the words, I'm proud to be Canadian, but something about it doesn't feel right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying in terms of feeling, it's not that, it's, you know what? I'm trying to enjoy this moment, but there's a little part in the back of my brain that's like preventing me from doing that. And that's what I mean by my complex relationship with this country. But for this moment, just this brief moment between you and I on this podcast, on this microphone right now, I'm happy of what this country just did. And you know what? It's because I know there's going to be series of disappointments. There will be, but in this moment, I'm going to try to enjoy this moment of, I don't know, is it pride? Is it happiness? Is it gleefulness of joy? Just this moment of positivity. I'm just going to grasp onto this moment of positivity, even though the angry black guy in me is going to be like, hey, don't forget what they did to the indigenous. You know, then again, two things can be true. You know what it must have been like as an American, especially a black American, and they killed Bin Laden, and Bin Laden got killed under Obama's watch. The pride they must have felt. You know what I mean? When the country does the right thing. I can talk longer than I need to, longer than a randomness should be, but it's just, I think I'm going to end this segment with saying that good for you, Maestro. Good for you, Mozaian. You guys earned it. And good for you, Mishimi. I'm, and I look forward to buying that goddamn stamp. Now I'm like, so I can't recite. Most of my heroes don't appear on those stamps. I mean, all right. Some of my heroes appear on a stamp. All right. Yeah.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. This is what a quick word. So in the news, yesterday I found out, it wasn't a big deal, but I found out Jay-Z and Pusha T are on the Epstein list. And to be more specific, it's the list. There's a shitload of, okay, there's an article about Variety. I'll put it in the link so you can read it for yourself. But it's not that, it doesn't, you know what? Okay, I'm going to escape from it, right? Because that's not the point I'm trying to get at about whether they're on the Epstein list or not. But what I am thinking about, and the thought came to me while listening to Drug Dealer Anonymous and hearing what's that white woman's name saying, your husband was a drug dealer. And I remember taking offense to that line now I'm thinking about, and it's, this is a weird thing what I'm about to say, is there's a part of me that's like, it's not that I'm saying so, they're on the Epstein list. It's more like, it's a combination of so and I'm willing to hear them out. Not as a justification, but more like, when I think about it, none of these two characters set themselves out to be, hey, I'm a good person. The reason I listen to these guys is they talk about their time in the drug game. And it's like, for a brief moment, I suspend the evilness involved in selling drugs. It's like, as a drug dealer, you're taking advantage. You profited off other people's it's the ultimate capitalistic game. So what I'm saying is, I'm trying to remember that, stop worshiping these celebrities. You don't know them personally. Sure, maybe they are good to their families, but in the end, it's I think what I'm trying to get at is, I am not surprised that they would be in that circle of Harvey Weinstein. These guys are politicians. They don't make. Do you listen to their rap lyrics? I think my favorite line, the best way I can explain this duality or this complex thought that I'm trying to express here is in Clips, Malice has a rhyme that goes, yes, it pains me to see them need this. All these lost souls, and I'm their Jesus. You know, so it's like, because he talks about the guilt he feels of being a drug dealer, but at the same time, I'm trying to get this money. And that's the thing is, when you present yourself, I guess I'm trying to say is I'm not fooling myself with who I'm dealing with. And again, I'm willing to hear them out. But it won't change the fact that I never looked at these two as an image of morality. Okay, granted, okay, now I wouldn't say the same. No, Bill Cosby is an exception. Granted, I kind of hope that they don't have a track records of sex trafficking. It's like there's some crimes I could overlook and there's some crimes I can't. But I'm just saying, I'm not shocked. I'm not gonna, I don't know. I guess I need to hear them out. And that's the thing. Will I believe them? Hear them out before I'm like, okay, fuck that. I'm no longer listening to a Jay-Z record. But that's not true. That's not true. I wouldn't do that. But okay, I think I'm just going to conclude this with I'm not surprised. And it's interesting, when I brought it up at the barbershop, not even a conversation. It was just, yeah, we heard. Heard about it this morning. No conversation. No whatever.
So you're a philosopher?
Jill Scott new album about to bring these 45 through 50 year old women out of their marriage, out of darkness, out of debt, just out. Jill Scott make music for women who put their bra on backwards and turn it around. Jesus Christ that is risen. Do you know what Jill Scott mean to black women that graduated high school in 98 through 2003? Jill Scott make music for women whose favorite movie is Love Jones. Jill Scott make music for women who going through menopause right now. Jill Scott make music for women who put vinegar in their bath water. This new Jill Scott album about to have every woman kicking their man out of their house that don't got a job. Jill Scott finna have these women telling their kids to go live with their daddy. I'm talking about giving up custody. This is the same lady who remixed the Star Spangled Banner and got away with it. Jill Scott make music for women who titties sag to their ankles, and that's okay. First of all, if Jill Scott go on tour with this new album, the conscious community alone gonna sell out every show. I don't even own a vinyl record player, but I'ma buy that album on vinyl, cause I know it's gonna come with a package of incense, Jamaican castor oil, skin so soft from the Avon lady, and a wine cooler that's been sitting in the fridge for 2 weeks. And you think men don't listen to Jill Scott? Jill Scott was giving free game in her music to men on how to talk to that lady. That's why your little cousin was born in 2004. Jill Scott make music for people who still write love letters and spray their cologne and perfume on that letter and mail it. This is back when you got a woman's phone number, she would take a pen out of her purse and write it on your arm. And when you got home and you called that number, you hoped she picked up the phone. Jill Scott new album about to have all these women acting brand new. Like your body count will magically get deleted by listening to this lady album. There's a certain level of blackness that come with listening to Jill Scott. It's like the equivalent to boiling Nick Bones while listening to Anthony Hamilton. Jill Scott make music for women that say, get somewhere and sit down. And if you ain't using that light in there, turn it off. Am I the only way that feel this way about this new album this lady about to put out? Give me your opinions here in the comment section. Be delivered.
All right, before I continue, the person's voice you just heard is Dangerfield Media. Link will be in the show notes so you can hear it for yourself. I'm sharing it for two reasons. One is I love when fans... people are so inspired by a work of art, by music, that they do stuff like this. That's one. I haven't heard the album yet, but he sold it, but I moved to it. Two, I'm jealous. I find myself realizing I need the male equivalent of Jill Scott's album. Don't get me wrong, I'm going to listen to her song. But it's more there's a certain part that I find that I don't find in music, or I haven't been finding music, is artists that I listen to and who embrace growth and aging. You know what I mean? Like, I'm on that level. I still listen to drug rap, because it's in the place of the background, and I still listen to music where I can't connect with these rappers. I don't know what it's like to sell drugs. I don't like what it's like to use violence to get motherfuckers to pay me back, to have hoes lined up, to have sex all night, to be hanging out in clubs, to be drinking expensive ass liquor, to act like I don't have bills to pay, like I'm not working a 9-to-5. I don't know any of that shit. That's why I've been listening to. My taste in music kind of like has evolved. I mean, I listen to more things than I used to now. Shit that I used to call white people music. But I have been looking for inspiration. Inspiration. I need to hear music. I need to hear a rapper talk about existential crisis, to talk about shit like, hey, I'm getting old. Time is running out. Hey, I didn't accomplish the things. Life didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. What do I do now? Oh, hey, I'm getting older, but it's not over. Do you know what I mean? Shit like that. Just like, talk to me, man. It's probably why that I listen to more podcasts than I do music. It's a shame. I love music. Don't get me wrong. It soothes me and everything, but it's just that a lot of the music that I listen to, the words don't align with my reality. And hearing what he just said about Jill Scott, that's beautiful, man. That's inspired. I'm envious. Envious of all the fans. But anyways, I'll tell you what. Let me check out the album and see if I feel the same afterwards. And all that. But yeah, man, my salute to all you Jill Scott fans. She came through. All right. This is it for randomness, quotable and randomness. Let's jump with the final say. And yeah, but before I do that, let's take a quick break before I lose this my freaking voice. All right. All right, final say. I feel like I forgot to play this. Just a reminder, during the Black History Month, all of you need to...
You must learn!
Yeah, spend your time learning, all right? I mean, you should be learning all the time, but, you know. You know what? Some of you might benefit from learning from history, reading history, and things like that. But yeah, all right. Cat say. You know what I'm realizing? So final say, I think this might be the format. I might be onto something, but I keep changing shit, but whatever, man. So I think final say will be reserved for something really personal or just personal, just whatever, random shit, random personal shit going on in my life, but with some thoughts attached to it. And randomness will be exactly that, less personal. I mean, my opinions and all that will be mine, but it'll be based on either news, other people's thoughts, and shit like that. But this one here, damn, excuse me, my voice is still, need to get me some ginger tea, but yes. But anyways, like personal, like I might talk about this book that I'm reading. I've continued to read the Red Rising series. I may have told you that I was chickening out on reading the Red Rising series, three books. There's a total of six books, and I'm finally on the sixth book. And I got to tell you, man, book four, five, yeah, it's as bad as everyone's telling. Not bad, but it's like it's a motherfucking roller coaster ride. It's a lot of like, think of George R.R. Martin, and every chapter has like a red wedding. Okay, not every chapter, but it's I don't know, maybe I'm just new to the world of fantasy literature and shit like that, but yeah, there's a lot of like parental advisory. There's a lot of shit that makes you want to clutch your pearls. There's a lot of like, let me turn that off. Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff that makes you want to like freak out, traumatizing shit to read, but you know. Am I going to stop myself? Of course not. Whatever, man. So anyways, I'm on book six, The Lightbringer, and maybe I'll talk about it another time. But right now, I feel the need to share my experience cat sitting. One of my neighbors who went out of town, and I offered to take care of her cat while she was away. And wow, that sounds a little... I mean, get your mind out the gutter. But anyways, yeah, of her house cat while she was away. And it was a fun experience. So this is like the second time I've taken care of her cat while she was away. And the second time around, I noticed that I was more relaxed this time around than I was the first time. First time, I was constantly like... it's like I was constantly, I have anxiety issues, folks. So I was constantly worried about doing something or any. I didn't want to be, hey, here's your dead cat. Sorry. Whatever. I don't know what went wrong. I told her not to play around with my cocaine. Whatever, man. She jumped in the toilet. I was like constantly scared for the well-being of this animal. I didn't know shit about cats. But this time around, I was more relaxed. I know that cats are usually take care of themselves, so don't need to worry about that. But, oh, right, okay. So, but there was a few moments, there was things that have happened that made me learn about myself, okay. But, well, first one around is this cat and I have a lot in common. She was an introvert like I was. And but it's different when someone else is the introvert. She was so much an introvert, I was taking it personal. I was feeling like what do you call it? The incel bros or red pill bros. I'm like, man, I'm feeling this cat. And the least, like, I thought I was gonna get a few good pictures that I could upload to the internet, a few cute pictures. Like, come on, do something cute. Come on, play with this toy. Let me take some fucking pictures so I can upload and get some karma points. But no, nothing, man. Most of the time, this cat hid in my closet, my shoe closet. I had to take out some shoes so it could be more comfortable. But it spent most of its time hidden. And on one way, the way I think about it, she was like the perfect roommate, right? We kept staying out of each other's way. But the jealousy was because I was like emptying her litter constantly, changing her water. I'd have to worry about feeding her because she had an automatic machine that took care of it and whatnot. But yo, this damn cat is fat. But whatever, man. But anyway, so it would come out every once in a while to eat, drink water, and then there was just one time she jumped on the couch. Notice how I go from it to she. You know, I'm still getting used to. I've never had a pet. Anyway, so she jumped on the couch beside me and, like, you know, headbutt me and, like, yo, motherfucker, give me some pets, whatever, or shit like that there, right? But I'm very conservative about how I give. Look, this cat is very timid, right? And very, like, again, like I said, introverted. So stayed in the closet. But I did feel a lot of time like, them females, man. You feed them, the least you could do is show me some affection. You know what I mean? No, none of that, man. None of that. It just stayed out of my way. It's like we had like a mutual understanding. The funny thing is, I wonder if during the day, and that's the other thing. This cat sleeps. There's times I'm like, motherfucker, get a job. Right. See, I had to look it up, but apparently I didn't know this, but cats slept a lot. I was worried. I'm like, oh, shit. Is it the temperature? Is it the, because I purposely avoided smoking weed because I don't know. Last thing I need is to find out this thing's got like a fucking allergy to marijuana leaf. But anyway, but I avoided smoking weed around it. But it slept a lot. It slept like I sleep when I'm high. After, I was worried, like, did it find one of my weed cookies or something like that? But I looked it up, but it turns out cats sleep a fucking lot. So, it was interesting how during the day, it was out of my way, and at night, I could tell there was something going on because the litter was full. But, and I was wondering, maybe, you know, maybe during the day, I'm the one who takes guard, and at night, during the day, the cat's taking guard. We got along, man. We did get along, but it was interesting on the dynamic, how I had to. But okay, out of the whole cat sitting experience, the one that I've underlined, like, this is the conversation I might have with my therapist, but I think I'll figure this out by myself. I realize is how I have this obsession with needing to know how the other person feels and what they're thinking. And if I don't have it, I don't feel comfortable. And I realized that I do that with human beings. So with this cat, there was time it would just pop out of nowhere and say, meow. And I'm like, what do you want? What the fuck? Speak English. God damn it. And like, I'm freaking out. Is it the weather? Is it this? The anxiety was acting up again, right? But I remember catching myself. It was saying meow. And it drove me nuts that I didn't know what that meow signal. It could be. It could be a high. It could be, hey, motherfucker, I need some attention. It could be, I looked it up. Yeah, attention. Or it could be, yo, this weather sucks. I wonder, it could have been like, hey, where's my where's my original owner? It could be, I don't like black people. I don't know, whatever, man. But it was driving me nuts. So I have like this fear. Because I'm making a connection here. I'm making this connection to my obsession with needing to know what this cat was feeling with one of my fears is being locked up in a prison outside of this country, surrounded by people who don't speak my language, that I can't communicate with. And that would drive me nuts because I don't know what this person is thinking. It's like a lot of my brain has established, and the way it established safety is having an inkling, an idea of what the other person is thinking. I've been, I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad, whatever, right? But I do know, this is why being around a person who's not smiling would bother me. It's funny because I'm an introvert and I like being quiet, but I also used to be that asshole who would like being like, hey, why are you so quiet? Telling other people why are you so quiet. Forgetting that I have my moments when I feel the need to be quiet. I told this to my therapist. I think one of my biggest fear is being in a session and having nothing to talk about. And then just like sitting in that discomfort of silence. That's what it is. There's not a lot of people. So with this cat, sitting in that silence was bothering me. Again, this is just things to just observe, like to dig into. I'm glad that this moment made me aware of how uncomfortable I feel around a person or a being that I don't know what they want, what they're thinking, what they want me to do. Yeah. I'm sure it's a trauma response or one of those things. But I do know that, look, man, know thyself. This is one of those know thyself type of thing. The biggest thing that I'm checking my notes here. probably the biggest takeaway from this experience is if I do get a cat, if I were like, I'm getting closer to getting a cat. First thing I need to do is burn this fucking carpet that I have. I currently have apartment carpet in my apartment. I need to burn that shit because it's like it's been there since Reagan, I believe, or before Reagan. It's been here. It's an awful carpet. Like, you know, man, if I was that kid who tried to impress women, I wouldn't get no pussy with this. I get no bitches with this carpet. Mm-mm. As soon as they get in, it would dry. Whatever, that's my point. Anyways, so step one is get rid of this carpet, get some floors, and then I will entertain the idea of getting a pet. All this to say that if I were to get a cat, it would have to be like this one, match my personality. Like, I like the introvert, the introversion. I like the idea that if the cat does choose to come to you, it's because it's comfort. It's like, it feels safe. There's a safety net around you. And not to take it personal, I had to watch a YouTube video about, it's like, yo, am I just one big-ass vending machine to this thing? And no, man, apparently cats are just real. They don't fake affection. I'm not saying dogs fake affection, but, you know, but dogs do know, like, yeah, human beings love to be worshipped, so let me give them some of that. Anyways, it was a great experience, man. I guess I would recommend it. No, that's it. That's all I got to say, man. My journey into Cat City. Now, I don't know if you guys, yeah, I need to get a new chair. I'm going to complain about it again. Somehow I'm going to have to ask for donation. I need to get a new chair and a mic boom, but that's another conversation. Sorry, I'm annoyed by the sound of this desk chair. All right, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. I want to remind you that the website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Daily Quebec and listen to Michi Me, Maestro Fresh West, and Muzayan. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? If at any point in this podcast you found yourself saying, man, I didn't like that. I didn't like what he said. I didn't like what he talked about. Or I like what he talked about, but I didn't like the way he said it or how he said it, whatever, man. I just want to remind you that it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Did I already say this episode rated by R? Okay, this episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, African liberal as a motherfucking crew. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Happy Black History Month and peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black.